As I grow older, that becomes one of my favorite songs. Never grow old. So it'd be nice if we didn't grow old. Wouldn't it be just nice not to forget things? I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I forget things. It seems like as I get older, I forget things and I forget more things. And I know most of you are saying you don't even know what it's like to be old yet. I know that, but I tell you, that's one thing I really drives me crazy. My memory is not what it used to be. I'm trying to learn verses, and that's not as easy as it used to be. I know we tell, as a young person, you sit there and you listen. Yeah, you need to learn it now. You need to learn it now, because when you get older, it's going to be tougher. I didn't listen back then either, and they don't listen probably today. And it's something that it's important to realize the mind is to use it to the glory of the Lord. That's for sure. Psalms 113 tonight. The goal of tonight, and the goal of maybe the next couple Wednesday nights, we are going to go back to an Old Testament book here sometime soon and go through each chapter. I'm still praying about which one. There's a couple that I like to do, and whatever the Lord leads and however the Lord leads. But the Lord's been speaking to my heart a little bit about this word faith and by faith. And this past Sunday night, we talked about the scriptures and what the difference between faithless and faithful is. And upon our knowledge, what we're going to do. Are we going to be faithful people, or are we going to be faithless people? So my goal tonight is to build our faith in God. And as we learn once again about God, and there's probably nothing new that's going to, you're going to see tonight, but it's to encourage us and to remind us that we can trust in God. We can have faith in God. We can be faithful because of all these wonderful characteristics. And you could have probably chosen a ton of different passages of scripture that talks about the different attributes of God. And we're going to look at a number of them tonight. That's why we had the PowerPoint tonight, because there's a lot of verses that I'm hoping that we can go over and look at together. But if we're going to live by faith, It's important for us to remember what our faith is in. If we're going to live by faith, it's important for us to remember what our faith is in. And we talked Sunday night a little bit about our faith being in the Word of God and how we can trust it and how we can depend on it and how we should respond to it. And tonight we're going to look at how we can have our faith in God and how we can trust Him and how we can understand Him. Now, here's the thing I think that's really true is the more we know God, the better we understand God, the more faith we'll have in God. The more we know about God and the more that we understand God, the more faith we'll have in Him. That sometimes we don't develop that relationship that God gave to us. Remember, we entered into that relationship. And when we get into that relationship, how are you going to be able to grow that relationship? By spending time with the individual, by spending time with the person. Same thing with God. You grow that relationship by going deeper and more real in that relationship. So, and that's the idea of God here. We're going to try to build your faith in God to know Him even better and to kind of whet your appetite. Hey, I want to know Him better. I want to learn more about Him, because the more you know Him, the more you love Him. The more you really, truly know God, the more you're going to love Him. And the more you love God, the more you're going to trust Him. And same thing with us in our relationships. The more you know somebody and get to know somebody, you learn one or two things. I like this person, I can trust this person. Or I don't really care for this person, I'm not going to be able to trust this person. You're not going to find that out about God. So let's look here in Psalms 113, and let's look what the Bible says. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Get the idea here that we should be praising God, and that's something that is true. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And that's all the time. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? Who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even with the princes of His people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Let's go and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight I pray that You help us, Lord, that You strengthen our faith. And Lord, as we consider our faith, that we realize what our faith is in, who our faith is in, and that is You. And as we understand You a little bit better and we consider that You created this world and that You have everything under control, Lord, how can we not just have faith in You? Lord, help us to build this and grow this. And as we're encouraging by faith this year here at Faith Baptist Church, that we live our lives by faith, that we serve by faith, that we give by faith, what is our faith in? Lord, our faith should be found in you. Help us to build that faith tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Many people know about God, but do we want to know him better? The better we know God, the greater our faith will be. Paul tells us a number of times in the New Testament that we are ambassadors. And it's important that an ambassador know who he is representing. And if we're going to represent the God of heaven to the men of earth, we had better know him well. Plus, we need to respond with faith in God and the God that we know. We know God because we've entered into that relationship, and we can respond to that in two different ways. We should respond to that in two different ways. We grow into a deeper and more real relationship each day. And secondly, this relationship to others should take that relationship to others around us, modeling a genuine Christian life and speaking to them of the true and wonderful God we serve. I did read an illustration. You know, I don't tell lots of illustrations and stories because you guys never laugh at them. But this is one I thought that was kind of cute. I have a couple tonight. In today's society, many people begin discussing God by questioning his existence. A lady named Cheryl went to a beauty shop to have her hair cut and her nails painted and trimmed. And we all know that in beauty shops and barber shops, there's a lot of talking that goes on. As the beautician began to work, they began to have a good conversation about many things and various subjects. When they eventually touched the subject of God, the beautician said, "I don't believe that God exists." And Cheryl said, "Why do you say that?" "Well, you just have to go out in the street to realize that God doesn't exist. Tell me, if God exists, would there be so many sick people? Would there be abandoned children? If God exists, there would be neither suffering nor pain. I can't imagine a loving God who would allow all these things." Then Cheryl thought for a moment, but didn't respond because she did not want to start an argument. Especially when you're getting your hair cut, right? You don't want to start an argument with that. The beautician just finished her job, and the customer left the shop. Just as she left the beauty shop, she saw a woman in the street with long, stringy hair, not groomed at all. She looked very dirty and unkempt. Then Cheryl turned back and entered into the beauty shop again and said to the beautician, "You know what? Beauticians don't exist." "How can you say that?" asked the surprised beautician. She says, "I am here. I am a beautician. I just worked on you." And Cheryl said, "No, beauticians don't exist, because if they did, there would be no people with dirty, long, unkempt hair like the woman outside." And the skeptic went, "Oh, but beauticians do exist. What happens is that people do not come to see me, do not come to me." "Exactly," affirmed Cheryl. "That's the point. God does exist. What happens is that people do not go to him and do not look to him. That is why there is so much pain. That is why there is so much suffering in the world. God does exist." So tonight I'd like to look at three different attributes of him. The first thing I want you to think about is we worship a powerful God. We worship a powerful God. Psalm 62:11 says, "God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that the power belongeth unto the Lord." We see that God's power in his awesome creation. And the difference between God and all those other gods out there, one has power and the other one doesn't. Some of the greatest stories in the Bible, and some of the my favorite verses in the Bible, it talks about how, remember how Elijah looked at those prophets of Baal and kind of mocked the prophet of Baal? There's Isaiah kind of mocked the false gods, and Jeremiah did at one point in time, and Habakkuk talked about, you know, how are you going to talk to a God that can't hear and a God that can't see and a God that can't react? And so one of the greatest things I see and understand is that, you know, we serve a God that has power and everyone else does not serve a God that has power. That's the difference between us and all those other false religions. You know, there is not a bones of Jesus sitting in a tomb somewhere in Jerusalem. You know what? There is the bones of Muhammad, and there are the bones of, you know, all those other religious leaders of the day. All those other religious leaders and all those other idols, they are powerless, but we serve a God that has power. And it's something we've got to remember, that we see power, his power in creation. Sometimes people are like, well, I don't see God working. I don't see God. Maybe we'll just open up your eyes and you consider creations. Consider what God has done in this world and what God has done through creation. Think about what the Bible says in Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament show of his handiwork. Revelations 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. If you ever want to encourage your faith, if you ever want to build your faith in God, you'll learn and see creation, but also study creation and the fascinating stories of creation and how this, our bodies in this world is so designed in a divine way that it just couldn't have happened. It's impossible to believe those things. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it would ever take to believe in God. And if you really truly want to build your faith in God, just look at creation. It does. Sometimes when you start feeling sad, and sometimes when you start feeling, you wonder if God has power, if God has strength, remember who created it all. Remember who started it all. Remember that he is God and he has the power to do all things. So the one thing I want you to think about is his power is seen in his awesome creation. I have another illustration here for you. It's not as good as the first one, but it's kind of cute. A Sunday school teacher was teaching how God created everything, including human beings. Little Johnny, a child in the kindergarten class, seemed especially intent when they told him that Eve was created out of one of Adam's ribs. Later in the week, his mother noticed him lying down as though he were ill and said, Johnny, what is wrong? Little Johnny responded, I have a pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife. You guys are just being nice to me because you want to hear my... God created everything. It includes human beings. If we have childlike faith like Johnny, to believe that God really did create man in his own image, when we choose to believe that, we build our faith and our faith grows. What happens? The perception of God's power strengthens. It's when we don't think about that, we do not choose to have childlike faith by looking and saying, God created this body of mine, and when it hurts and when it aches, and sometimes when I feel like God doesn't even care, he knows all about it, and he has the ability to fix it. Second thing is, underneath we serve a powerful God or we worship a powerful God, all power is seen in his awesome creation, all power is seen in his authority. You listen to what the word of God says. It says in 1 Chronicles 29:12, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. 2 Chronicles 20:6 says, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Revelations 19:6 says, and I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, and the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. So what does that have to do? Of course the Bible is going to say God has authority. How does that build my faith? Well, when you believe in his authority, you know what you're going to believe in? That you should listen to him. You're going to believe, hey, God says it, he's my authority, I need to listen to him. That will increase your faith and build your faith. And it's something I know we talk about his ability and his authority, but one of the things that encourages his authority is sometimes people use the word sovereignty. Sovereignty simply means that God is the one in charge. We praise God that he is over our heads. Everything is over our heads and under his feet. And that's when we think about, hey, God is really, truly his authority is in charge of all things. I can trust in him. There's a two response to it. Number one, I need to obey him. Number two, if he really did create this world, which we believe, and if he really truly does have authority over everything, even if the winds and the seas obey him, even if this world has to obey him, you know what? I can trust in him because he has say. Next thing I want you to think is not only is his power, we worship is the powerful God because of the fact we see it in creation, we see it in his authority. We also see it in his ability. His ability. He's able to do anything. We think of that word as omnipotence. The idea he is all powerful is one of the descriptions of God. He is omnipotent. Someone once said, nothing is too big for my God to accomplish, and nothing is too little for him to use in accomplishing it. God is omnipotent. He is an all-powerful God. Job 42:2 says, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Matthew 19:26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. See, if we meditate on the things of God and we believe in the things of God and we see creation and we see his authority and we see his ability, you know what that's going to do? It's going to increase our faith. But when we worry about all the other things that are going on in this world and all the things that are out of our control and we're wondering why the rest of the world is out of control, we get our eyes focused on those things, we lose faith. If we want to do things by faith, our eyes must be remembering he's the creator. He is an authority and he has ability. He not only is omnipotent, he also is omniscient, which means he knows everything. The Bible says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. You know, there's the new telescopes tell us that there's over 50 billion galaxies out there. And there's over 200 million stars probably in every galaxy, maybe. I don't know. But you know what the Bible tells us? He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them by their names. Isn't that? I think that's kind of neat. They look in there and they find another galaxy and there's a few more million stars out there. You know what? Then he says, you know what? God knows them. He knows them by name. And I think that's good. He is also everywhere. So if we understand this and we allow this to increase our faith, he knows everything. Means he knows what we're going through. He knows your life. He knows what you're experiencing. He sees that you're struggling, or he sees that you're succeeding. And plus, last but not least, in this idea, his power, he is everywhere. That means he is omnipresent. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. God is present in all places at all times. He is not bound by time and space. This does not mean that nature is part of God and is therefore to be worshiped. Creation is separate from God, but not independent of him. God is everywhere. Psalms 139 speaks of this when he says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If we want to encourage and build our faith tonight, we believe that we worship a God that is powerful. Next thing I want you to see is we worship a perfect God. We worship a perfect God. He's not just powerful. I've met a lot of people that have been powerful in their lives. Nothing like God, obviously. But I've also met a lot of people that are perfect. I mean, that are powerful, but not very perfect. Not very smart. You see some of those guys on TV and all those athletes, and they're whining because they make millions of dollars a year. Isn't that crazy? I mean, they might be powerful, and there might be people in the world that have power. We think about the guy over in North Korea. He has power over that nation, but he definitely isn't perfect. See, we serve a God that not only is powerful, but you know what? He is also perfect in his dealings with this world. Psalms 18:30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. He is perfect in his oneness. An atheist may say there is no God. Agnostics may say we cannot know whether there is a God. A polytheism says there are many God. A pantheist says God is everything, so everything is part of God. God says, is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. He also says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. He also says, I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. There is one God, and we can know him. He is perfect because we don't have to divide our emotions and feelings between many gods. There is one God, and it's explained clearly in his word. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, the Lord our God is one Lord. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 5 and 6, for though there be that are called gods, little g, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods, little g, many, and lords, many, but to us there is but one God, big G, the Father of whom all are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by him all things, and we by him. He is perfect in the fact his oneness. He is perfect in holiness. I've always thought it was interesting. You think about the people that had impressions or spent time with God or saw glimpses of God, in a sense. Remember Moses, and we think about Isaiah, and we think about Job. You know what they talked about? They talked about his holiness. He is perfect in his holiness. It creates a sense of awe in his holiness. It should draw us to him. It should motivate us to be like him. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. The Bible says, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. It's important to understand he is holy and he is perfect. And not only in his oneness, but also in his holiness, but also he is perfect in his righteous and justice. He cannot do wrong. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Deuteronomy says, he is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. God's righteousness and justice are evidence of his holiness when dealing with mankind. His imposing on mankind righteous laws and demands, justice refers to the carrying out of the penalties attached to these laws. We see that these doctrines cause us to have a godly fear, has a reverence and a respect to God. We see that our sin means it had to be judged, it had to have a penalty, and that's what Jesus Christ came. He would not have allowed us to go to heaven without our sins being paid for, and that's what Jesus Christ did. We can build our faith in the fact that he is one, there is nothing else, no one else we have to worry about when it comes to God. He is holy, he is never going to do wrong, and he is never going to treat someone unfairly or unjust. And he's perfect in his faithfulness. His faithfulness. The wonderful thing is he's there for us. He's immutable, which means he does not change. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:5 says, he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. It's Jesus Christ, God is the same. This last one might be my favorite. They're all good, but we worship a personal God. It's not something that he is so far away from us that we can't get to him. And I read in the, when I've seen in the Quran talks about how their God can do good and can do evil and do things. That's not just and that's not righteous. That's not holy. We serve a God that is just, that is righteous, that is holy, that is faithful, and that is one. And here we serve a God that is personal. The God we worship and serve is a person, not just a force or a being. The Bible tells us what he thinks, how he acts, how he loves, how he demonstrates qualities of personality, and best of all, he has a heart for you and for me. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. When we think about someone we love and someone we care, of course, we're going to have thoughts of peace to them. We're going to have thoughts of comfort to them. We're going to try to do things to get them to an expected end, like you do with a child. When you start off, you love them and you care for them and you want to someday see them succeed. You want to someday see them grow. You maybe someday graduate from high school and graduate from college possibly and have a family. You work towards those things. And what the Bible is saying here, that God sees us and God loves us. We understand that from me and you, how we might love that family and we might desire those things for our family, but we serve a God that loves us and loves us so much that he's still the creator of the world. It's not just somebody that we're attached to. He loves mankind. He created the world. He's powerful. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. We take these things for granted, but if we would think and meditate on these things, you know what that'd do? It would build our faith. It's the fact that he created this world. Why am I worried about it? It's his creation. He'll take care of it. And that he has the power and he knows what's going on and that he is always just and that he is always right and that he is always holy and that he always is faithful. So we wrap all these things together and then he says, and I care about you too. That can encourage us that I can live by faith because he cares about me. I can keep on doing what's right because he does care about me and he is in control of all those things. And by faith, I can move forward because he does care. Jeremiah 29:11. I like the verse there. It talks about God's thoughts for us. We see that his personality is seen in titles, and throughout the Bible there's a number of different titles. The word God, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, that word God is refers to himself. It's Elohim, means that he is God, absolute and supreme, source of everything that is. When he talked to Moses, he says, I am that I am. I am refers to the fact that he is self-existent one. He is totally independent and complete in himself. Jehovah, when he says in Exodus 6:3, and I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, by my name Jehovah, was I not known to them. And this word Jehovah means that he has introduced himself, and it talks about how he has a special covenant relationship. Jehovah actually means the eternal and immutable one. He also talks about being the God of God and the Lord of Lords, which means he has power and authority over anything else that would call itself a God. But I think my favorite one is when he calls us a heavenly Father, is that he is our Father and we can pray to him. Romans 8:15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Next thing, and we're not going to spend much time on it, but we see his personality is seen in his Trinity. We've gone through and looked at different lessons. We talked about the difference between who God the Father is and who God the Son is and who God the Holy Spirit is. And each of them have their own works that they do. You think about the Holy Spirit and you think about all those wonderful things, how he teaches us and how he convicts us. And you think about what Jesus Christ and what he did. And you know, you think about all those different things, you wrap them all together. That's who God is. And that's the amazing thing, is that we see his personality and the fact that and his titles that he reveals himself to us by calling himself these different names throughout the Bible. Then he reveals himself to us by showing him the three parts that he is and describing what those three parts do. And then he also reveals himself through his tender care. Ephesians 2:4 said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And in Ephesians 2:7, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He cares about us. He has tender care for us. See, Pastor, why'd you preach this message? Well, I think it's what the Lord wanted, number one. Number two, because I would like to see our faith grow. I'd like to see us live by faith. Say, Pastor, you did not say anything tonight that I did not know already. Man, you're pretty smart then. But also, why aren't you responding by living by faith then? If you believe God, and once again, we look back at those definitions of faith versus faithless. And if you believe this way about God, are you being faithful to him? Are you listening to him? Are you obeying? Are you being distinctly on purpose, leaning towards and listening? Or are you choosing not to? Faith versus faithful versus faithless. We looked at that Sunday night about the Word of God. How are we responding to God himself? We believe in his Word. He obeys. He teaches. If we believe that he is God, then are we living like God is the one that's all-powerful and that God is the one who is holy and just and right and one and faithful? And are we living like he's the one that loves us? Because if we have faith in God, it will change the way we live our lives. What we believe affects what we do. Let me say that again. What you believe affects what you do. If you believe you have faith in the Word of God and you believe it's God's holy word, you're going to listen to it. We talked about the responses. You're going to read it. You're going to memorize it. You're going to meditate it. You're going to hear preaching from the Word of God in it. Why? Because I believe that's God's word to me. And as you believe that God is the holy, righteous one that created this world and that loves me and cares for me, what should your response be? I'm going to grow closer to him. I want to spend more time with him. I want to know him better. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time invitation tonight.